Hello and welcome to Ag PhD Radio. I'm Darren Hefty.
And I'm Brian Hefty. Thanks for joining us today. Well, today on the show, we want to get some harvest updates from you. If you'd love to call, or if you would like to call into the show, we would love to have you. The number here is 844-44-AG-PHD. That's 844-442-4743. Just call in and tell us how harvest is going on your farm. I'll give you an update on our farm here in just a second. Before I do, I will tell you we're going to get to the Ag PhD mailbag shortly. You can send us any questions you have, radio@agphd.com, or on Twitter, Ag PhD Media, Darren Hefty, or Brian Hefty. But again, if you want to call into the show today and let us know how harvest is going on your farm, that would be great. 844-44-AG-PHD. And if you're shy about being on the radio, just call in. It's actually our sister Janelle running the phones and running the controls for our show today. So she'll visit with you a little bit and give us your feedback if you don't want to be on. But anyway, on our farm, we are hopefully, if things go well today and tomorrow with no breakdowns, we should finish soybeans tomorrow. We should finish corn by middle of next week. We actually slowed up. We have two combines on our farm, and we've just been down to one combine for the last week and a half because things were just a little on the wet side for us yet. So we got all the dry stuff done with and pushed it pretty hard for a while there, but now we're just kind of going slow and letting stuff dry down a little bit more. The driest corn we had last week was 25%, and I'm going, yeah, I want to get it out, but there's no rush. Very often, we start corn harvest around the 10th or 15th of October. Well, this year, by the 15th of October, we're going to be all done. So it's just a very unusual year for us. They say it's the third hottest year in the last 20. And for us, it was the driest ever from July 7th to today. So the last 3 months, we've had less than an inch of rain, unbelievably dry for our region. And it just figures. The last 2 years, record rainfall. This year, at least late season, not early season, but late season record dry. So anyway, that's kind of how things are going on your farm. Let's go to the phone lines right now. We've got Dell calling in from Michigan. Give me just 1 second here, and we'll get you pulled up there, Dell. And again, if you'd like to call in, the number's 844-44-AG-PHD. All right, Dell, how you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
You bet.
A couple of days ago, we had an episode on soil samples, and
yep.
You went into quite detail on how to take the soil samples.
Yep.
But I've listened to your show enough to know that some nutrients are on top, some are 4 inches down, and some are 6. And you didn't really cover that in your show. Would you go over how to do that correctly so that you really know where your nutrients are in the level of the ground? And the second thing I want to tell you is that my potatoes just did wonderful up there in Michigan in my sandy soil. And it was dry and just all good in my market garden.
Great. Excellent.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. You bet. Thanks. So anyway, in terms of what level your nutrients are at, let's talk about that. When it comes to soil sampling, there are a lot of different ideas on how we should do the depths. So, I mean, ideally, it would be nice to know every inch all the way down to 2 feet in the ground how you're sitting on fertility. And we occasionally will say here on the show, do that in a couple spots in your farm. Even if you only go down to 12 inches, literally take each 1 inch and send that in for analysis and see where your fertility is at. So in terms of specifically answering Dell's question, I'll just say this. The nutrients that don't move very much include phosphorus, zinc, and copper in pretty much all soils. But then beyond that, in a lot of our heavy clay soils where we don't have a lot of rainfall, like where we farm here in South Dakota, potassium barely moves along with those other ones. So where I'm going with this is if you're doing even a 3-inch sample, in a lot of cases, you're going to pick up most of that. But a lot of people are going to soil test down to 6 inches. I have no issue with that. For Dell and for anybody else listening, if you want to capture all of some of the mobile nutrients, including nitrate, sulfate, and boron, that's where it would be nice to go down an extra 6 to 18 inches. So you'll see a lot of people who will do a 0 to 6 inch sample on all their spots on the farm. that they want to sample for this year. And then they'll take just a few spots and they'll do a 6 to 24 inch core. And you can certainly do that. There are, and it's not that difficult. You just, anywhere where you'd actually pulled the other cores, you can take a little drill, like a, well, yeah, it's basically just like a little drill, either hand drill or you can put a motor on that if you want to. But the point is you just go down in that 6 to 24 inch depth. And then for your mobile nutrients like nitrate, sulfate, and boron, you might find them there. Then it's a judgment call. Are you going to use that data or not? Because the way I look at it, well, if you get a bunch of rain between now and spring, those nutrients might not be there. The flip side is you say, well, if we don't, then those nutrients could be there, and I could take advantage of some of those nutrients, so I might not want to put as much of those nutrients on. So I could see it both ways, but just so you understand, those are the nutrients that move. All right, let's get back to the phone lines. We got Larry calling in from Iowa. Hey, Larry, how are you today?
I'm pretty good. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet. I hear you got a question about seed production.
Yeah, I'm in the combine right now, so I'm going to stop. I am in eastern Iowa, right in the middle of the derecho and the bad wind.
Yep.
But my seed salesman stopped and asked me about selling a field of beans for seed.
Yep.
And they will qualify because the planter was clean.
Sure.
And he planted them. He was planting the same number of beans.
Yep.
So everything's good, clean field of E3s.
Yeah. Okay.
They pay 55 cents a bushel.
Yep.
That's the maximum you can get, plus 15 cents storage.
Yep.
Plus I've got to pay the first 6 cents of trucking.
Okay.
And to me, that doesn't seem like that's a good deal. But what do you got to say?
Well, I mean, let's put it this way. They're either going to go to the elevator or they're going to go for seed, correct?
Yep.
So, I mean, you could either take zero extra or you could take 55 or 70 cents extra, right? It's just one or the other, basically, right? You're either going to sell it for seed or going to the elevator.
And I can't, well, that's if you make the best premium.
Yeah. Yep. I'll tell you what, Larry, we got to take a quick break. We'll finish answering your question right after this on Ag PhD Radio.
Are you combining around weed patches, waiting for weeds to dry down, or tired of spring burndown failures? Save time, nutrients, and moisture by including a Valor herbicide brand in your fall burndown program. Valor provides excellent residual control of tough weeds, including kochia, marestail, prickly lettuce, dandelion, plus suppression of bromes. Proactive, effective weed resistance management starts in the fall. Get a clean start for your next season with Valor herbicide brands. Always read and follow label directions.
You would never plant seed or apply herbicide with a 20% success rate. So why are you still applying phosphorus fertilizer with a maximum availability of only 20%? Double your phosphate availability and increase yields with NutriCharge from AgroTech USA. NutriCharge's patent-pending technology protects phosphorus from negative chemical reactions that tie up your fertilizer investment. NutriCharge performs across all soil types and pHs. Contact AgroTech USA or your local Van Deese supply representative today.
Success isn't just about maintaining your operation, how you make out for the season, or how much you can get from each acre. It's about doing precisely what needs to be done to feed your crop and grow your legacy, all the way down to the last drop. AgroLiquid Precision Crop Nutrition. Apply less, expect more. Find a retailer at agroliquid.com.
When it comes to effective herbicide formulations, you know Nufarm. They've been bringing growers trusted brands like Burnmaster, Scorch, and Spitfire for decades, made right here in the USA. What's your favorite Nufarm brand? Email it to turnuptheburn@nufarm.com and you'll be entered to win a monthly $1,000 product giveaway. In these unprecedented times, you're facing unprecedented pressure. Nufarm's here to help.
Welcome back to Ag PhD Radio. Brian Hefty here, along with my brother Darren. Right before the break, we were talking to Larry from Iowa. Larry, I apologize about that. We just had to take a quick break there. But to your point, and Darren and I were talking about this during the break, I think where you're going with this is there are a lot of people who raise soybeans who get more than 55 cents for a premium. Is that really what you're asking here?
yet it doesn't seem like that's enough money for all the stuff you've got to do.
And I
can't truck them because they're going to go quite a ways away, and I don't have a big truck.
Yep.
And I've got to base my price on my local elevator,
yep,
which is usually got a 40 to 60 cent basis.
Okay.
If they let me go off a terminal like Cedar Rapids, Iowa, or somewhere, I could capture some basis at certain times.
Sure. Yep.
But it seems like it's a pain in the butt.
Well, okay. So, what extra cost do you have in you doing this? Because you already raised the beans, correct? We're talking about this season's crop, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
right now.
Yeah. So, do you already have them in the bin?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, is there anything extra that you need to do? You don't. I mean, here, let me just step back for 1 second. So, we raise seed beans, and we have for probably 40 years on our farm. We have a bunch of requirements that we have, including fertilizer. We have to spray fungicide twice. We got to spray insecticide. We have to put on certain seed treatment, pre-emerge herbicide, just a number of other things. And so we have legitimately some extra cost in some stuff. And what we're going to get is a range of 80 cents to $1.40. Okay, so that's kind of where we're at, just so you know. And I'm just trying to figure out here, what extra cost did you actually have? Now, I'm not going to argue with you that 55 cents seems a little on the low side, but to their defense, they're probably saying, well, you already have them. You have them in the bin. We're willing to pay you 55 cents more than what you would get selling them at your local elevator right now. And I assume that's where they're coming from. Am I capturing the gist of it?
Yes, you've got it.
Okay.
Plus, there's another throw in there, is these are beans that they're looking to buy for another company.
Sure. Yeah.
Another company. There's two companies that are short trying to buy beans, and this is a major plant, a major bean breeder in the state of Iowa.
Yeah. Well, Larry, there are a lot more than two companies short on beans right now. So there are a lot of people looking for these E3s all over the place, and your call is not unusual, because we've talked to a number of other farmers who've been approached around with the same basic request. The premiums are all over the board. It's obviously as much as you can get, but I don't know how many people have those same beans that you do. So that's kind of the question, because you could go back to them and say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll do it for whatever you decide, 75 cents, 80 cents, whatever you want. They can say no at that point, and then you go, well, boy, I could have had that extra 55 cents. So I don't know. I mean, if it was me, I'd be awfully tempted to take it, because, I mean, what other option is there other than, when Darren and I were talking about this over the break, he just said, Darren brought up a good point. He goes, okay, does he have the option to price later, or does he have to price today? So what do you have in terms of when you actually price the beans?
I was hoping you didn't ask that, because I don't know.
Yep.
If they call for them in January or February, if that's when they got to be priced, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the reason why I bring this up is obviously that can make a difference, but you can certainly buy them back on the board. We've sold our beans before, or corn, and then we just buy it back on the board. It's no big deal if we believe that the price is going up. Sometimes we win with that. Sometimes we lose with that. I don't know how your basis levels are right now or any of that kind of stuff, but all I know is if you've got the opportunity for an extra 55 cents that you weren't going to earn, yep, you can try to negotiate a little more out of that, but by the same token, it's an extra 55 cents, so it's not like it's all bad.
There was nothing done special to them other than pre,
okay,
and post.
Yep.
Nothing out, no fungicide, no nothing.
Sure.
The other thing that will be a hang-up is where they are, I cannot get in a big semi. It's impossible. We tried it.
Oh.
So we've got to shuttle them out in an auger cart.
Sure.
Which is another pass at grinding them up.
Yep, right. But, you know.
And probably in January or February in a snowdrift.
Yeah, yep. No, I hear you. Well, I guess, yeah, it's kind of up to you. I would tell you that's a little on the low side, But by the same token, when it's after the season, they're already sitting in the bin and you didn't have all that extra cost like we normally do when we're growing beans, I can see the seed company's point too. So I don't know what to tell you. Obviously, it's totally up to you. I just think for me as a farmer, if I have the opportunity to make an extra 55 cents, I'm sure looking at that because anything would help right now. Profitability is not real great. Now, the good news is, I mean, crop prices have come up, so that's definitely a good thing. But you add another 55 cents on top of it, and hopefully that means just a bunch more extra profit on your farm.
They did make 55 bushel, which was probably better than they were looking in August.
Sure.
Because of, you know, the only rain we got was during that derecho thing, and we got four tenths.
Yeah, yep.
And
yep.
All the corn being flat.
Right. By the way, how is your corn looking? Have you started any corn harvest, or did you have any full loss on that or anything?
No, I haven't. And probably in my county, there hasn't been very much total loss. You need to go one more county to the north of me,
okay,
which is up with Cedar Rapids, Marshalltown,
sure,
Highway 30. That's the one that absolutely got creamed.
Yeah, yep.
But most of the guys here, they say they're going 1 or 2 mile an hour.
Yep.
And everybody's got a corn reel or those end stock rollers.
Yep.
And I guess the seed corn guys aren't even done. And they're going a half a mile an hour, and I guess one of them hit a remnants of a building yesterday and ruined a seed corn picker.
Yep.
And so they've got guys walking out in front of the other picker looking for buildings.
Good grief. Yeah, it's always something. Well, hey, Larry, great talking to you. We want to wish you the best of luck down there, and hopefully everything works out good for you here this fall.
One more thing, Brian.
Oh, sure, yeah, go ahead.
Somebody's sending me the magazine, and I want to tell whoever it is, thank you very much.
Oh.
I get a lot out of that magazine.
Good.
I would be on the Interstate 80 corridor, so I'm a way south.
Yeah.
But I love to read, and I do read that more than once.
Yep. So you're talking the Ag PhD magazine, I assume.
Yeah. Yes,
yep.
I am.
Yep. Awesome. All right. Well, hey, Larry, thanks a lot for calling in today. Appreciate it.
Thank you for your help.
You bet. All right, let's go to Norm up in North Dakota next. Norm, how are you today?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Great.
Good, good. All right, this has to be a great harvest season compared to last year, doesn't it?
Oh, it's been outstanding. If there's any time to have a drought, I guess it's during harvest works as good as any.
So how are you coming along on harvest? Are you quite a ways into things? What crop are you into now?
Canola and wheat's done. We're cutting beans as we speak. We're down to only about 300 acres left. And then we'll just have 400 acres of corn, and that'll be it for us.
Awesome. Awesome. How dry is that corn? Have you been out there checking that yet?
We hand-shelled some the other day, and it was like 22. We only got 50-pound test weight, though, on the hand-shelled stuff. So, but that's... You know how those hand shell samples are.
Yeah, yeah, I do. I was thinking the same thing because I knew you were going to talk about hand shelling. I'm like, yeah, I know how ours go too. It's not always the most accurate thing, but at least it gives you an idea. And the beans right now, is everything going smooth? The plants are all easy to get through?
Yeah, we shut down for about 4 or 5 days to let them ripen up a little bit more. We got one quarter that got hail on it, so that was set back. I'm not sure if we'll be able to get that or not right away. We might have to stop again and wait. But with the heat and the wind and the sun, it's come around quite a bit, even in just a couple days.
Yeah, it's just been amazing. You're right. Having dry weather and warm weather, too, has been quite a blessing.
Yeah, if we would have missed that Labor Day frost, I think we'd really have outstanding beans. I'm thinking that trimmed them back quite a bit, as well as, you know, a lack of decent rainfall in August. The corn had burnt that back to the frost, but the stalks were green enough. So I believe it's still filling and kind of keeping on. So that's good. Or we'd have, you know, 40-pound test weight corn if it really killed the entire plant.
Well, you were sure due for a good harvest season in North Dakota after what you had last year. And stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You need a powerful herbicide to fight the war on weeds. Vellum is Rotem North America's mesotrione herbicide, and it fights against the annual broadleaf weeds attacking your cornfields. Winning this battle means higher yields, lower cost to you, and maximized profitability. For long-lasting residual weed control, check out Evinco Vilify and our newest mix, Rixa. For application, flexibility, and season-long control, that's Evinco Vilify and Rixa, powered by Vellum. For more information, visit vellumherbicide.com. That's B-E-L-L-U-M herbicide.com.
I'll take predictability where I can get it.
With their CropWise Seed Selector, NK Seeds combines local knowledge and local data to show me where their seed fits.
And even where it doesn't. Because out here, predictability is hard to come by. And success matters. Find your seed at nkseeds.com.
You deserve to have a building that will last for generations. With more than 110 years of experience and thousands of satisfied customers, Morton Buildings is the industry leader you can trust. Unlike other construction companies, you work with Morton Buildings craftsmen from conception to completion. There's no better time to buy. Lock in your new building for 2020 today. Contact your local Morton sales office or visit mortonbuildings.com.
Want to cut production costs without losing yield? Brian Ryberg from Buffalo Lake, Minnesota has done just that. Here's his story.
We began using a soil warrior on our farm the fall of 2014. We've seen many benefits from better water infiltration, a lot less hours on equipment, fuel, able to reduce our fertilizer side. So it's really simplified our operation.
See what makes Soil Warrior different and better at soilwarrior.com.
As a little girl, I always wanted to run the combine because it meant I was helping Dad. And Dad always said, farmers are helpers. I'm teaching that to my daughters, that farmers help our family, our neighbors, and our community. It's what I do at work. I help farmers get the equipment they need. My name is Kim. I'm a farmer, and I work for Case IH.
Case IH, built by farmers.
Downtime during spraying can lead to huge yield losses. Keep rolling with the Pentair Hypro Force Field. This pump features a unique self-regulated chamber that allows the pump to run dry while eliminating cracked seals, so you can spray longer and more reliably. Learn more at pentair.com/hypro.
Make every bushel count with the End Zone Bin Fan Control System from Farm Shop MFG. Harvesting soybeans too dry causes shatter loss in the field and revenue loss from shrink when you go to market. Condition your grain for ideal moisture with the End Zone. Visit farmshopmfg.com for more.
Back, you're listening to Ag PhD Radio. I just off the air there, I was chatting with Norm a little bit more. Norm's up on the northern side of North Dakota. I asked him what he was seeing out there, and he said, you know, one thing that he noticed, and now he's planting extremely early beans, Brian, and I guess you could maybe comment on this too, but he said he had some group double zero beans. So yeah, if you're planting a group two, 10 days earlier than that is a group one, 10 days earlier than that is a group zero, and 10 days earlier than that is a double zero. So for
well,
you guys planning...
0.0, keep in mind. So if it's a 0.5, then it wouldn't be quite as much. But anyway, go ahead.
Right. So anyway, I guess for you guys planning group threes and group fours and later, you can kind of tell how early maturing these beans are. Well, on the early end of a lot of soybean traits, when they first come out, they don't have much. Like, for example, Extend Flex right now, brand new trait. They don't have any double zeros yet. In fact, next year they're going to have some early group zeros for 2022 planting, but that's, I think, about as far as it's going to go. So anyway, Norm was trying out some Enlist beans just on a small plot area. He's planting a lot of Extend, probably going to stay with Extend because there's just more offers for them in the double zeros. But he said his Enlist beans were coming in a little
by
later.
By offers, you mean there are just
more varieties to choose
varieties,
from.
Yes.
And he said the Enlist beans are coming in a little later, and he was wondering, are they fudging on the dates? Are they staying there a little bit early, trying to stretch north? Or do you think they are legit? And I said, well, I think they're stretching a little bit, but here's the other problem we ran into, and I know we look at a lot of plots and get out in a pretty good amount of North Dakota, and one of the things that we saw in plots where they were enlist and extend beans is if there was some drift.
Exactly.
There was a neighboring cornfield that sprayed dicamba and there's a little drift.
Yep.
Well, that dinged the beans up and it may not have hurt yield. It may have hurt yield too, depending on when it came, but it may not hurt yield, but it did slow down maturity. So they're getting, they're greener and it's taking a few more days before they're ready to go. So just make sure there wasn't a drift situation involved. If you're thinking, the enlist beans are not quite true to maturity, we've looked at a lot of them, and for the most part, they're pretty honest about the maturity. But on the extreme end of group double zeros, there may be a few companies fudging it a couple days.
Maybe a little bit, but I don't think that's the big deal. Anyway, I was also going to say, when you start talking that far north, don't forget, so if you're in the south, in the southern United States, for example, you go, how can they even raise crop up there? Don't forget, they have way more hours of daylight than you do in the summertime. I mean, like many hours, 2, 3, 4 extra hours of sunlight. It's light for a really long time. Now, the flip side of that is when you live there in the wintertime. So I've been up in Canada in the winter, and it's like the sun barely comes up in the southern horizon. It's really, it's different. But anyway, the point is, with all that sunlight, it's great for soybeans. Soybeans respond very well to sunlight. Now, they got to have some rain, too, but they respond well to sunlight, and that's part of the reason why North Dakota, for example, just a couple of years ago, I believe was the number 4 state in the United States for soybean production. They're number 4. They had over 7 million acres. And by the way, if you add it up, just the eastern side of North Dakota and the eastern side of South Dakota, and let's say you had an East Dakota and a West Dakota, well, East Dakota would be the number 1 state for soybean production in the United States of America. There are that many beans raised up in this geography. So things have really changed in the last 20 years. Just wanted to throw that out there.
All right, another grower a little further north than us is Cody, right up on the Saskatchewan-Alberta border. Cody, how are you doing today?
Not too bad. How are you guys?
Good, good. How's harvest coming along through your area?
Well, you know, we've been done for about 4 days here, but most guys are pretty much wrapping it up. A few guys still got a bit to go, but pretty much everybody's all done, and the weather's cooperated with us quite a bit this year as opposed to the last 3 or 4. So
yeah.
It's been pretty good.
You were due. Couldn't have that repeat itself again. Yeah. All right. So with all this extra time that you've got now, what happens next? Is there tillage? Is there fertility? What goes on now?
Well, we're all zero tillage. So, you know, like what we pretty much, we put all our fertility down at seeding time. And what we're doing right now, or going to get going here right away, is to start working some low spots. We had a lot of water again this year and earlier on, and you know, it wasn't as bad later on in the season, so that's been kind of our saving grace this year. But we'll take the disc in and start working some, you know, wet spots that kind of flooded out, and then probably take the chisel plow and just go and spike out some of the low spots and the draws and whatnot, and then it'll help with some water infiltration. And you know, that's our biggest thing right now. And then of course we have cattle as well, so we got to start thinking about them as well, getting them home and doing something with them. And just, it's actually fairly stress-free right now so far.
That's good. We need some of those breaks too. But like you mentioned with the cattle, you got winter coming. You know it's going to get cold. What is the strategy and how does it work? We've got a lot of listeners much further south than us that always wonder, all right, what do you do with livestock over the winter?
Well, I guess our biggest thing is up here in Canada and our cattle got, you know, we run a lot of, well, exactly the same genetics, you know, as far as Black Angus and whatnot. We use a lot of Simmental. Well, actually, all our bulls are actually Simmental, and we've been using Shorthorns as well. I guess our biggest thing is we want to have enough hair on our cattle so they can take the winter, and we feed, most likely, we start into the end of November, early December, we'll start feeding. But before that, when they come home, we turn our cattle out on fall picking, you know, on stubble and everything, and they'll go through all our cereal stubble and even canola stubble too. And we might have to supplement them a little bit, but as long as the snow load isn't, we don't get a bunch of snow or whatnot, you know, we don't sometimes don't get snow till December or whatever, and it works out good. You know, we can winter our cows on the early half of the winter pretty darn cheap, but then once it starts getting cold and that, you got to feed them pretty good. And we're looking at, you know, up to minus 10 Celsius. We're probably needing to put in about 2% of their body weight of dry matter, right? And yeah, then once it starts going under minus 10, well, then you got to start up on the energy and their ration or whatnot, just so they can produce some heat to keep themselves warm. But yeah, beef cow's pretty damn tough too. I mean, they thrive actually. Like, they thrive well. And our cows, they are out on the fields and everything. Like, we feed right out in the fields, and our cows, they don't really see the corrals until February for our heifers when we start calving them. And then our cows don't start till the first part of March, and they're all brought in. And we got a big barn. We can put probably 20, 30 cows, like probably 20 cows and probably 30 heifers if we need to, kind of thing. And our heifers are calved separate, or calved before the cows start. So actually all our heifers go in the barn pretty much every night, right from the mid part of February, and calve them right in the barn. And once the calves are big enough to take the cold or whatnot, then they go into a corral with lots of straw and whatnot, and feed them a little bit of grain just to have the energy for them, so they will flesh out and be able to breed back the following spring, kind of thing. So yeah, it's definitely a little more work, you know, than maybe down further south and whatnot.
Yeah, it's a little more work and a lot of planning. And like you say, it's all, hey, we know this is coming. We've done this before. We're set up with facilities, yeah, and so forth to be able to handle all this, and just adjusting those rations that they're getting too. And you see the same thing with wildlife too. How does wildlife tolerate the cold temperatures? They know what they've got to do, and there's times where they've got to bring more food in order to have the energy and so forth to keep fighting off that cold. We're talking with Cody's up on the Saskatchewan-Alberta border. Cody, good to hear harvest is done. Good luck here as you get into the next stages.
Yeah. Thanks.
Getting harvest updates, and we'd love to hear from you today. Our phone lines are open at 844-44-AG-PHD. You can also email us, radio@agphd.com. We'll be right back.
Your land is a legacy, a challenge from those who tended it before you, to build on their foundations. At Corteva Agriscience, we understand what it means to be the stewards of a legacy. We embrace the challenge of building on the foundation of Dow AgroSciences to maintain your trust, to bring new solutions, to help you care for your land. See how we can help build your legacy at rangeandpasture.com.
Acre to acre, year to year, generation to generation, nobody scrutinizes performance like you do. And acre to acre, year to year, generation to generation, the consistent performance of Vasgrow brand soybeans helps to keep your profitability out in front, offering leading agronomic expertise and 100% exclusive genetics for strong yield potential. Ask your dealer how much further you can grow when Vasgrow leads the way. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Make every bushel count with the Endzone Bin Fan Control System from Farm Shop MFG. Harvesting soybeans too dry causes shutter loss in the field and revenue loss from shrink when you go to market. With the Endzone, you can combine higher moisture beans earlier in the season to reduce field loss, then use your bin fans to naturally reach your target moisture. Condition your grain for maximum profit with the Endzone. For more information, visit farmshopmfg.com.
If you're looking to get the most out of your foliar nutrition and fungicide programs, ask your ag retailer about Nutex EDA from Sipcam Agro. Nutex EDA has been proven to increase foliar micronutrient tissue levels and maintain those levels for an extended period of time. When tank mixed with fungicides, Nutex EDA helps support plant health, resulting in higher quality and yields. Nutex EDA is an affordable and effective solution that should be part of every grower's high-yield toolbox.
Have resistant weeds invaded your cornfields? Tough 5EC, manufactured by Beltrum Crop Protection, can help. When added to the post-emergence tank mix, Tough 5EC synergizes the effectiveness of HPPD inhibitors on key broadleaf weeds. In fact, university field trials have shown 5 to 30% increased control of herbicide-resistant Palmer amaranth and water hemp. Now that's tough on weeds. Ask your local retailer about Tough 5EC or visit BeltramUSA.com. Always read and follow label instructions.
What's the next big thing from the Roundup Ready Extend crop system? A soybean built on Roundup Ready to Extend technology, or one with glufosinate tolerance? Great news, it's both. Expected soon. Extend Flex Soybeans. Always read and follow IRM where applicable. Grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions. Commercial availability in 2021 is dependent on regulatory approval. No dicamba may be used in crop with Extend Flex Soybeans unless and until approved. And no dicamba formulations are currently registered for such use in the 2021 season. Learn more at extendflexsoy.com.
Listening to Ag PhD Radio. Thanks for joining us today. We're getting a harvest update, and we'd love to hear from you at 844-44-AG-PHD. I just got a message from Zane. He says he's driving truck to support his farming habit. A lot of folks out there doing the same thing. Zane said the usual run is from Wisconsin down to Texas, and he's heading through Illinois right now, heading north I-55, now onto I-39. He said his best guess in that area, 75% of the beans done, 10 to 15% of the corn done. So long ways to go yet on the corn. Hey, Zane, thanks for the update, and drive safe. We know it's a big job out there heading down the road with the truck, and tough to get everything done at home too. So just stay safe. Brian, get a number of questions that have come in here in the Ag PhD mailbag. Let's dive into those. Oh, I'm sorry. We got Mark on with from Illinois on the phone too. Janelle looked at me through the window like, what are you doing? Mark's on the line. Let's talk to Mark in Illinois. Sorry about that, Mark. I just about jumped into a mailbag question instead of talking to you.
Well, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Well, good thing my sister's telling me what to do. Not much has changed in my long life. As long as she's telling me what to do, I usually get it done. How about on your farm? Are things going well for you?
Getting there. We've started in the beans and moving along pretty good. So thankful for some really great weather God's give us, and we're moving. That's the main thing. We're moving.
Yeah, these warm conditions are sure helping to push that corn along a little bit too. Have you got your nose into any corn yet?
No, we took some advice and planted all our beans first, and so our corn is a little ways off, and so I haven't been able to get out there yet, other than just to walk it. But getting along pretty decent in the beans so far.
Excellent. So, what did you think about that, planting beans first? Is that something you're going to keep doing?
Yeah, it's great. I wish I could say that I was smart enough to figure that out on my own, but it is obviously better for yield. It's turning out to be really good for us putting our turkey litter on. We've been able to, of course, the weather has been great, but we've been able to keep up with the combine almost, and that's a big deal. Because as you guys know, up where you're from, as the weather, we get closer to the end of the year and the weather turns south on us, that can be a problem, and compaction starts to be an issue, and there's a lot of trips over a field with the litter spreader. So if we can avoid that, that's a good deal.
Yeah. How long have you been doing the litter? Is that a long-term thing for you guys, or you're just getting rolling on it?
This will be the sixth season for us.
Okay.
So we're just now starting to understand it. We grow turkeys, and it is an interesting – it's an interesting fertilizer. We're quite thankful that we've got it.
Yeah, I haven't heard too many growers, other than the smell, I haven't heard too many growers complaining yeah. about it. And usually once guys get going with that, they say the yield has been pretty good. So are you seeing the fertility? Now, you've been 6 years into it, so you've got some fields that have had some of this turkey litter out there for a while. Are you seeing that you've got first-year availability, but you certainly get a boost down the road too?
Yes, yeah. The soil samples are starting to indicate organic matter has come up. We're kind of excited about that. And we're still struggling with a carbon penalty. I'm not exactly sure how to quantify that yet, especially in the corn. But, you know, it's fine. As you all talk about moving your K the values up on, you know, over 4%. We can do that, and it's just time and fuel. And so that's exciting. It's fun to come. It's kind of like playing in a sandbox, in a sense. And so, you know, that's been fun.
Yeah, it's good when the combines are rolling and you're getting warm and dry weather. You can't beat that on the farm. We don't get it every year, so we got to enjoy it when we do get it. We're talking with Mark over in Illinois. Mark, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on. Good luck here as you finish up those beans. Hopefully the corn yields are going to be really good for you as well.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it. You guys be safe.
Yeah, thank you. We've got our friend Tony Wendler on right now with Farm Shop MFG. Oh, man, Tony, I was so happy to see your name pop up. I got lots of questions for you.
Hey, have at it. I wanted to say I didn't know about it, but I want to thank you for the article you just had in the magazine. I opened that up here on the weekend. I thought, really nice. So thank you.
Oh, well, you're welcome. We were really excited. Bin fan controls have really changed some things on our farm. And Brian had just mentioned earlier, we've got some crop that's still been just a little bit wet out in the field, but it allows us to go out and grab it a little sooner than we otherwise would. And this heat that we're getting through harvest season has got to help a lot, doesn't it?
Here's the concerns I have. And one of the things that if you're setting the controls the way I think they ought to be run, you probably, if you're natural air drying either beans, especially beans, or corn, you shouldn't be running them right now because you're going to overdry the grain at the bottom of the bin. These low humidities, we're getting down to like 30% today. And we'll just say for corn, if you're looking for 15.5%, your target should be about 68% humidity. And that does swing. You know, with higher temps, it'll swing a little bit to a higher number. Soybeans, it's pretty much right around 68. The issue comes in, and this is where people go on, they're emptying their bins out, and the bottoms are down at 10-11%. When those fans run on dry, low humidity days, it sucks the moisture out of the first grain it hits, which is at the bottom. And once it's taken it as low as that air humidity can, it starts working on the layer right above it. So on a day like today, you know, if you're moving the corn, yes, it's going to help in a dryer, but you know, in a grain bin, I'd be really cautious about turning fans on. In fact, like on beans, I'm evening out some beans right now, and our fans are only running in the morning and start at like 4 or 5 in the morning, and then they're turned off. And yesterday was different. Yesterday was humid then. The humidity was too high. But right now, this morning was like 5, 6 in the morning, and then shut off by 10 or 11.
Yeah,
because the air is getting too dry.
I think it's so timely that we're talking to you as well, because we've got so many farmers that we talk to really all over the United States and Canada that are getting to start managing these things and trying to turn on manually fans, turning them on, turning them off when you're so busy with harvest. It's almost impossible to pay close enough attention to be able to get things done without completely disturbing your harvest schedule. So bin fan controls are a really nice way to do that. How about sensors for alerting you when bins are full and these kinds of things? I know there's a lot of grain moving around. You mentioned dryers and just filling up different bins. They have to be pretty darn important too.
Sensors, yes. You know, one of the things that I was kind of, and I'm going to just throw this out, this for food for thought for everyone, that I had looked into a LIDAR type sensor and was looking at it initially for my overhead fill tank. And the cost of it, you know, on a small farm, I was thinking about getting it for experimentation, but these units, you can get different styles. There's three different versions. The one can measure either a pile or a cone, and once it knows the diameter of the bin, it will calculate what's in there for bushels. When it knows what's there, whether it's a pile or a cone, it will read whatever it is. The you can have others that are just going to read depth, so it's a straight pinpoint. The other one had another, I guess the other one was more that it was for dust. It had wipers on it. That if you had dust on the lens, it would keep wiping it. But the issue is these have to feed back to a central control panel, which is like $1,500. So the monitors weren't that expensive, like $500-$600. Then you got a central control. If you've got enough bins and then explode this whole thing out, if you had a livestock farm, these things could measure pit depths. They could measure your feed bins. You know, for not a lot of money, you could have a monitor out there measuring every bin and reporting to a central location. So you could have constant updates on what's going on. Fertilizer bins, you know, whatever you might have.
Oh, yeah. There's so many different ways that that can be used on the farm. I think one of the challenges that we've got as farmers is just all the things that we have to keep track of. And with technology now, you can certainly keep up to speed on quite a few things at the same time, often off your smartphone or just some real easy to read sensors. We're talking with Tony Wendler with Farm Shop MFG. Check him out online. We've been using his bin fan controls now for a number of years and been really happy with them. Tony, thanks so much. Really appreciate having you on, and stay safe this harvest season. We'll be right back after this.
A history of success means proven performance, but let's call performance what it is. Profitability. And boosting yours, no matter what the season brings, is the goal of DeKalb brand corn. Backed by exclusive genetics, whole farm solutions, and unmatched dealer support, let nothing shake your perseverance. Ask your dealer how DeKalb brand corn can help you realize a future of performance. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Maintaining your crops is as important now as it's ever been. Howler, a revolutionary fungicide from AgBiome, can help. It provides long-lasting protection from a broad spectrum of foliar and soil diseases that affect crops. Howler is OMRI listed, has multiple modes of action, and has minimal pre-harvest and re-entry intervals. It's flexible, easy to use, and is available right now. Visit agbiome.com/howler to learn more.
Hey, Adam. New drone?
Not just any drone.
I mounted a laser on it to take out weeds.
Look out for that tree! In the power lines!
Oh, it's heading for the house.
There's a simpler way to protect spring wheat from weeds. Perfect Match Herbicide. The broadest spectrum weed and grass control in one product. Learn more at PerfectMatchHerbicide.com. Always read and follow label directions.
The laser.
Are you combining around weed patches, waiting for weeds to dry down, or tired of spring burndown failures? Save time, nutrients, and moisture by including a Valor herbicide brand in your fall burndown program. Valor provides excellent residual control of tough weeds, including kochia, marestail, prickly lettuce, dandelion, plus suppression of bromes. Proactive, effective weed resistance management starts in the fall. Get a clean start for your next season with Valor herbicide brands. Always read and follow label directions.
Success isn't just about maintaining your operation, how you make out for the season, or how much you can get from each acre. It's about doing precisely what needs to be done to feed your crop and grow your legacy. All the way down to the last drop. AgroLiquid Precision Crop Nutrition. Apply less, expect more. Find a retailer at agroliquid.com.
Heat, drought, wind, hail, northern corn leaf blight, gray leaf spot. If your corn is under stress, you are too. Get Veltima fungicide, swift activity, with fast payback, an expanded application window. Makes life simple, and it's the secure choice. With powerful residual for visibly healthier corn. Swift, simple, secure. Veltima fungicide. Call your BASF rep today. Always read and follow label directions. Veltima fungicide is not registered in all states.
Getting harvest updates on today's Ag PhD radio show. We would love to hear from you at 844-44-AG-PHD if you want to talk about what's happening on your farm or in your area. Real happy to have Brian on with us right now over in Indiana. Brian, I hear you got all done with the soybeans.
Yes, we finished up with soybeans yesterday evening and switched the combine over and made sure it was working right, and we're working hard on corn today.
Outstanding. What's the moisture at now on the corn?
It is very dry. It is 16%.
Oh, wow.
So this is you know, we'll plant a range of 104 to 112-day corn, and this is 109-day. Just happened to be on the farm that we thought it made the most sense to start on.
Yeah, that's, wow, it's going to be interesting to see when you get to that 104 what that's looking like. But is everything standing well for you?
Yeah, it really is. You know, I'm not going to say we got the strongest stalks ever, as fast as it died and dried. But we're very lucky here so far, and you know, we're keeping that in the back of our minds as we're chugging forward.
All right, now we're hearing about some stalk rot in different areas of the country and some guys switching up their harvest order. Did you run into any of that? Have you kind of pre-scouted some of these fields? Everything looking good?
When we got into beans, we just never stopped. So, you know, it's been dry here like everywhere else. We've spent very little time scouting corn, but I just have not seen any stalk rot in the little corn that I have scouted. So I don't see that here. I sell a little bit of seed to a few guys, and as I've talked to them, walked through a couple of their fields with them this fall, we haven't seen that here.
Good, good. Yeah, it's, you don't need any more stress like that out there. But like you say, if it's dry corn like that, you're not going to get a whole lot of sleep coming up. You're going to be rolling on corn pretty hard.
No, yeah, like you said, that early maturity corn, I'm a little paranoid on what it is now.
Well, I've heard some guys in our area, now we've got some corn that's still 20 plus, but I've heard some guys in our area have said they've had some corn as low as 14. So it's definitely possible. It's definitely out there. And like you said, this stuff, some of it died and dried pretty darn fast. So it made me nervous about the stalks, but so far we really haven't had any trouble either.
Yep.
Well, cool.
It didn't take long for it to go from even 25 down to where we're at. So it's dried down like crazy.
Yeah, and then we get another warm week here, too, to keep pushing things along. No, well, that's good news, Brian. Well, glad to hear the soybeans went well, and good luck here. Stay safe as you're getting that corn out, too.
Thanks a bunch. You guys do the same.
You bet. Thanks. Had a question come in from Dean here in the Ag PhD mailbag. I was waiting for Janelle
goodness,
to kick
that
out
was
some
terrible.
There we go.
It's the mailbag.
All right, we got to push the right button too. So there we go. I needed that after Janelle had to tell me what to do here earlier. Okay, so Dean said a few months ago I was on your show, talked to you a little bit about high calcium, low mag soils. I got some soil tests here for you to take a look at. We're about ready to start spreading some fall fertilizer. Just wondering what you would do to deal with the conditions we got in our fields.
Okay, so we've got 5.5 to maybe 6 on pH, but a lot in the fives, and very low magnesium. The calcium is not super high, but the hydrogen is high, which means you got acid soil, and the magnesium is low. So that means that the lime you need to pick is not the calcitic lime that we're typically going to talk about up here. You've got to find a dolomitic lime that's got a lot of magnesium in there. And if there are other sources of magnesium you can find, you might need those in the future, but I would start with, let's just run with some dolomitic lime. Don't get yourself too carried away because your pHs aren't that horrible. It's not like they're in the fours, but you want to try to get your pH for corn, soybeans, and wheat. We talk all the time about 6.3 to 6.8, so I'd be shooting for the low sixes. That's what I would go for. Beyond that, you know, you look at phosphorus levels where the P1 phosphorus is down to 15, maybe 20, so that's pretty low. So you got to be addressing that. Your potassium is really low. That's absolutely hurting your yield right now. You're down as low as 1.4% base saturation K, and basically everything I see here is in the ones. So you need a lot of potassium. I mean, like, I'm talking hundreds of pounds of potassium over the next couple, 3 years. So start on a build program with that immediately. Your zinc is not great. You got a couple parts per million of zinc, so you need to be pushing the zinc a little. Your sulfur is just barely enough. Iron's fine. Copper's probably not too bad. And then we get to boron. That one's real low, 0.3 parts per million. We were just looking at some of our soil tests yesterday for some of the first stuff that we got tested this fall. We've got a bunch now that we're in the 2 to 3 part per million range, and that's now we're finally getting somewhere. We've been working on that for the last about 3 years now. But anyway, at 0.3 parts per million on boron, you absolutely need more boron as well.
All right. Thanks for that question. Get this one from Ryan in Northern Illinois about boron. I got a couple of boron questions. We'll see if we have time to get through those. He said, I'm pondering the idea of putting on boron through a strip-till application this fall. I know boron's leachable, similar to nitrogen or sulfur, but if the ground temp is cold enough, will I have issues? I've been applying broadcast in the spring, roughly 2 elemental pounds. Also, we put 1 elemental pound through the Y-drop bar at V4, V5, and foliar, as tissue samples have been calling for boron. You know what? I'm nervous about
it. Wait, stop. Is it heavy ground or is it sandy ground?
It does not say.
Okay, that's the number one question that I've got. Number two question I've got is how much calcium is out there. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I just get nervous. I never hear anyone banding boron.
Right.
Because you can definitely overdo it.
Right.
So I'm not a big fan of that in the strip till, to be real honest. I like it in the broadcast a lot better. It does move through the soil.
Right.
And it safens it a lot, putting on it in the broadcast versus the band.
Absolutely. So, yes, I am also a big believer in doing it in the broadcast. But with the band, you're going to get results a lot faster. And, you know, let's face it, that boron that we apply broadcast, it could be in between the rows. It could leach down so deep between the rows where it never hits roots that we completely lose it. Whereas if it's in the band, then the odds are much higher that this year there are going to be roots there to extract it. It's just the question of how much you put out there. Would I put 2 pounds out there in the band? No way. Would I put a 0.5 to 1 pound? Sure, I'd probably do something like that. But here was my point. If it's sandy ground, you have much more risk of loss, number one. And number two, you have more risk of toxicity, in part because the more sand you have, chances are the lower your calcium. You've got to have good calcium levels, preferably above 65 or 70%, and that helps safen the boron as well. So the lighter your soil and the less calcium you have, the less boron you're going to want to throw out there in that band. If it was me on my farm where we've got an average CEC of 20, we've got a lot of calcium, our average is probably 70%, then I'm feeling pretty good and I would be willing to put 1 pound out in the band for me on my farm. And by the way, that fall band, that would be 6 to 10 inches deep.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And fall band, definitely a little safer than spring too. So
but yes,
I would experiment before I get too carried away on big rates.
Yeah, and his point about cold temps, absolutely that's true. So that's why we say do a lot of your fall fertilizer 2 to 4 weeks before freeze up in the fall. And I mean, once it freezes up, your stuff is locked in. It is not going anywhere, so you don't have to worry.
All right, thanks for that question. Got another boron question. This one comes from Mark in Oklahoma. He said, I've got small grains. We're growing them only for forage, triticale and oats. Currently, our boron is at 0.25 parts per million.
Yep.
All the other macros and micros are at adequate levels, so it appears that boron is my weak link.
Maybe.
I'm wondering if boron would impact my tonnage. I've spoken with two agronomists in the area, and they both said, don't worry about boron. But it looks like that might be my missing piece on the fertility.
Okay, let's talk about this. I don't believe a lot of the adequate ratings that are out there to begin with. Like I was just looking at the soil test a minute ago, and you start getting to 25, 30 parts per million of P1 phosphorus, and they'll call that adequate. And I'm going, what? That's terribly deficient. So it's all relative, and I'd like to look at your soil tests, and then let's see if they're actually adequate. So before I would worry about boron, I would take a look at my phosphorus and make sure my phosphorus is high, like on our farm. I'll just tell you for our farm, okay? So I don't know what your soil test looks like, so don't take these numbers as, oh, Brian says I have to be at this. No, I'm just trying to give you a perspective here. So like for me, I want to be at least 100 parts per million of P1 phosphorus or P1 Olson, or I should say Olson test for phosphorus. I'd want to be at least 4% base saturation K and preferably 6 or 7% base saturation K. So those two things alone, most people are far short of those and they say, oh, I'm adequate. And think about potassium. If you start running short on moisture in the middle of the summer, you're going to be running short on potassium in some cases, even though it says you're adequate. Well, you really aren't adequate because you ran short on moisture. So anyway, there's a lot more we can talk about with that. I don't think adding lots of boron is going to help your tonnage much, but it might help a little.
Thanks for listening to Ag PhD Radio. Be sure to join us again each weekday.